was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We are so delighted that you're here with us today. I continue to think we ought to have the children sing every Sunday, because when the children sing, folks show up. Now, that's exciting to me. And our children are very exciting to me, God's very special gift. Let me begin with some announcements. You'll first notice that our youth are gone. There are 30 at Caswell. I was talking with Matt earlier today just as they were heading into worship. 24 of our youth, 5 adults, and Miss Lillian. And so they'll be coming back today. And this evening we're going to have a very special time, our trunk or treat time together, something new we're going to be doing from 6 to 8. You'll come for a meal. And then we'll have a chance for our children as they go to Awana to come dressed up and then go trunk or treat. And we're looking forward to sharing that opportunity with them. So please note that. And also remember, next Sunday is homecoming. And I just pray that the house will be full as we celebrate God's goodness to Flat Springs Baptist Church and the ministry that has been ours for almost a century and a decade now, and we are grateful for what God is up to and what He will continue to do. I would ask you to look at the bulletin. There are several things. We've got a group going this week to Kentucky, some leaving Wednesday, some leaving Thursday, and it's not too late. If you'd like to be a part of that, you can contact Randy Keck or the church office, and we can hook you up with someone that will be traveling if you'd like to go. Half of our World Hunger offering this year is going to the Crossroads Ministry, where these folks will be traveling. We're still collecting clothes and food items to carry. If you would like to make a donation, we still would take that as well. And we want to be praying for them, especially as they make that journey. And then just one change, I think everyone is aware, but we're changing the diaconate meeting from Thursday night because several of our deacons are going to be on the trip. And that's a good thing, I think. And they will not be available to be at that meeting, so we're going to change the diaconate meeting to this Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Hope everybody will that's involved there will be involved. And again, we are delighted that our children are going to be singing for us and with us today. That is always good news. Today, as we worship, we're going to be turning our attention to the Psalms, Psalms 51. David's dealing with the sin he committed against God and the evil he did toward Bathsheba and Uriah. As we begin, listen to a prayer, a confessional prayer based on Psalms 51.
Holy God, you are the God of all people, of all ages, and also the God of every individual person. As an individual and a member of a community, I come, seeking your grace and forgiving mercy. Compassionate God, you are the God of all people, and also the God of every sin-filled individual person. As an individual and a member of a community, I come, seeking healing and renewal that your forgiveness brings. Forgiving God, you are the God of all people and also the God of every contrite and penitent individual person. As an individual and a member of a community, I come, seeking a fresh start in unity with God and with others. Amen.
Now, would we take a moment to confess to God and prepare our hearts for worship as our instruments play.
Sing three verses, all three verses of hymn number 325, Whiter Than Snow.
Thank you. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we come today giving thanks for all the many, many blessings that you have given to us and done for us. We give thanks, dear Lord, for your loving, caring, healing, and protecting hand over us. We give thanks for the blessing of prayer. Dear Lord, oh, how great thou art. Please be with those in need and bless us and accept these tithes and offerings to be used for thy will and service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay. Any children need to come, we need you now.
You want me to just stand there? Okay. Okay, boys and girls, we'll rearrange here a little bit. What is your favorite game to play outside? Okay, what's your favorite game to play outside? What's your favorite game? This is not working here. I'm just going to take it off. I'll talk loud. But
we're having technical difficulties.
My ears could be. Okay. All right. What's another favorite game outside?
Volleyball.
Volleyball. I like that too. Clay?
Basketball.
What? Okay. What? Soccer? And one more. Tag. Oh, that's an old one, isn't it? Okay, I like tag, too. Well, I like to play Frisbee. It is a fun game for me. I really like to play Frisbee. It's fun to throw it and sometimes let the dog catch it, isn't it? Well, we're going to use this Frisbee this morning to learn about what God expects of us and what He wants us to do. But first, let's listen to God's Word. God's Word is what we need to listen to this morning. our verse we're going to read today is a little bit longer than normal, so you really, really need to pay attention, okay? We're going to talk about talents today, and it's really, really appropriate because we all have heard from part of you this morning, and we will in a little bit, about a talent that we have today, and that's singing, isn't it? Well, our verses are from Matthew 25, 14 through 30. So listen carefully to three men that were given something by their master. Ready? Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to their ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 talents went at once and put his money to work, and he gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of these servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents brought 5 other talents. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents, and see, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then, this is the third man, are you listening? Then the man who had received 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See here what belongs to you? His master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the banker so that I would return and have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he who will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That was called the parable of talents. Now, in the story, the talents that the master gave his servants was money, wasn't it? The one that used his talent the most received the most in reward. But this morning, I want us to learn that God has given each one of you a very special talent, and he has a really special way that he wants you to use it. He expects you to use it. Now let's get back to the frisbee. Remember the frisbee? You all know what it is, but pretend that you didn't even know what that thing was. You'd never seen one before. Well, we could use it for a hat, couldn't we? If we didn't know, we could use it for a plate, right? We could eat off of it. Or we could even dig in the ground with it to dig a hole, couldn't we? We could. But that's not what the frisbee was made for. No, it wasn't made for digging. It was made for throwing. That's right, it was made to sail through the sky. So we need to use it for that, don't we? Well, that's just like our talents. When God gives us a talent, we need to use it to work for God and to do what he wants us to do with that talent. Okay? Use your talent, boys and girls. Each one of you has a very special talent. Okay, let's pray about that. Dear God, help us to use our talents the way that you have given us those talents to be used and work for you. In thy name we pray. Amen. Thank you, boys and girls. It was nice to have such a big, big group. You may go back.
Okay, we'll stand. We'll go ahead and sing all verses. They're really short. Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, 330.
seated. Well, I know you are so glad you came today, because now you know that if you're ever, ever in the belly of a big old whale, you know exactly what to do. And that's good. That's important. Our children are so special, and they bless our hearts. God knows how they bless our heart. I appreciate all those that work with them and allow them to use those talents that Miss Martha was talking about to the glory of God. Let me invite you to look at our bulletin. You'll see the prayer concerns that are listed there. Surely in a gathering this size, there are others on our hearts and minds. And isn't it good news that God knows all our needs, even before we ask? And then He invites us to come and ask. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that our children have reminded us today that you inhabit our praise and you long for our prayers, regardless of our circumstance. And we pray now for these on this list who are suffering difficult circumstances, recuperating and dealing with ongoing illness and facing the loss of loved ones. You know every need. And we lift them to you, Lord, not to remind you, but to remind us that we could be using our talents to bless them. Continue now to speak to us as we continue to confess to you that we realize we are sinners, and it is your amazing grace that makes a difference. And you can create that clean heart in us when we're faithful to confess. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you're faithful to forgive us. In Christ's name we pray.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Isn't that wonderful, that amazing grace? Open your Bibles with me to the 51st Psalm. Psalms 51. David, as we talked about last Sunday, had been confronted by the prophet Nathan of the sin that he had committed against God. His sin with Bathsheba. His sin to his army. His sin to Uriah. All to God. I can't imagine the emotional fall it must have been for David when Nathan told him that story about the man we read last week who had all the sheep. And then when he needed to take one, he stole his neighbor's and offered his sheep for a guest feast. And you can tell even in the reading that David was angry. He wanted that man to receive justice. He wanted that man to get what he deserved. And how the Holy Spirit must have used those sharp words when the prophet Nathan looked at David and said to him, "You are that man." And in a moment, a second, David went from angry wanting justice to embarrassed, to humiliated by his sin, to a man needing mercy. Are you a real sinner today? Or just a philosophical one? Not really a sinner. Really, you don't need anything from God today. Nothing in your life that's not perfectly in tune with His holy will. I know I'm not that man. Maybe you're not that man, that woman, that boy or girl. If so, then maybe the prayer we're about to read that is one of the most beautiful in all the Psalms, one of the most heartfelt, one of the most difficult, could suddenly leave that philosophical realm of sin and help us to ask ourselves, are we really sinners? Are we really in need? Could God really adjust our life and make something different happen? The psalm is Psalm 51. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word? Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin, it's ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth and in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all of my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, will you not despise? Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in right sacrifice and burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, here we stand. The person sitting behind us and maybe even beside us doesn't know of our sin, but you do, and we do. And sin's not something we like to talk about, but oh, can it get in the way of a life, of a family, of a church, of a community, of a state, of a nation, and of a world? And remind us that you loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish because of our own sin, but have everlasting life. Your forgiveness is just a prayer away. Help us to pray the prayer. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Three preachers decided to confess their sins. The first admitted that he took a drink every now and then. In fact, sometimes he took more than one. The second admitted that every now and then, when things were a little tight, he had a way of slipping into the church treasury and taking just a little bit of money when he needed it. After both these men had shared their confessions, they looked at the third and noticed that he turned and was briskly walking away. He said, "Where are you going? And what about your confession? What about your sin?" He said, "Oh, mine is gossip, and I can't wait to get back to town." After selling his vehicle, 22-year-old Wesley French decided he wanted it back. He just didn't want to pay the money back. He didn't want to pay for it, so he and a friend mugged the new car owner, beat him with a 2x4. And then they made their getaway in the green Nissan 240SX. But they had a plan, a foolproof plan. You see, they knew how to paint cars. So immediately upon the assault and taking the car, they went, pulled in, and painted the car. And eluded police until one officer ran the license plate. They didn't change the plates. The plates were still registered, and they recognized their sin and arrested them. One police officer said, "Well, instead of changing plates, they're going to be making plates now for a while." I just wonder, could today we be brave enough to say, "I've spray painted some sin in my life. I haven't really changed anything. It's still wrong. I've just put a thin layer of prayer. I've taken some scriptures that I kind of twisted them a little bit. Not much, just a little bit. And they kind of fit now, and I'm okay with it. I know I'm not quite as close to God as I used to be. I don't talk to God as much as I used to talk to God. I don't study God's word as much. I don't know. For some reason, it's just not the same. And maybe today what we really need to do is change the registration, to change the plates, if you will. I think there are three truths we can gain from David's confession in Psalms 51. The first is the hardest, I think, is to remember what? Is to remember sin. Now, it's easy for me. In fact, I still don't quite feel altogether comfortable saying that he didn't sin against Bathsheba. She had no choice but to do what her king told her to do. And I really have a hard time saying he didn't sin against Uriah. Because let's just call it what it was. He murdered Uriah. He murdered him. In this one event in David's life, the man after God's own heart, he broke 7 of the Ten Commandments. 7 of the Ten Commandments. He had a bad day. He had a bad day. I wonder this week if we had a bad day. Jesus set the bar pretty high, didn't he? He said to even look after one with lust is to fornicate or commit adultery. My guess is if anyone owns a television, you've been tempted at least to sin against God. He says to think an angry thought against a brother is the same as committing murder. I wonder who we killed last week, spiritually speaking. Remember what? To deal with sin, and sin is absolutely no fun to deal with. I wonder if there's something in our life that's actually interfering with our relationship with God. And maybe it's sin. Maybe it's something we just haven't come clean with. You remember back in July of 14, this past July, you may have seen the news stories about Los Angeles near UCLA campus when a 90-year-old water main burst under Sunset Boulevard. And there was a raging geyser of water that sent out 8 to 10 million gallons of water over the UCLA campus, flooding many buildings, including the Pauley Pavilion. It took the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power about 4 hours to shut off the 30-inch diameter water main. Conversation, you know how once something like that happens, the media likes to get a hold of it. They begin to ask questions and dig in, and they discovered something that most of the main lines under Los Angeles were old and corroded, many of them more than 100 years old. Sinkholes were occurring large enough to swallow fire trucks. Utilities warned in 2012 that a million feet of pipeline, or 20% of the system, had not been serviced in more than 100 years. That's scary, isn't it? The city was asked about why. And finally, one had the audacity to say, well, things we don't see, we don't pay much attention to. I wonder today if the Holy Spirit might bring something to our heart and mind that we haven't seen for a while. But it's poisoning us. It's like that neglected water system. When's the last time we confess to God? Remember what? The what is our sin. David said, my sin, it's ever before me. It's ever before me. You see, I noticed something about sin. It's like hummingbird feeders. Now, I've been blessed with hummingbirds. I have sometimes 30 or 40 at a time. And I almost lost pulpit right then. Pull that back right here. And I put out 7 feeders. And during the summer, sometimes twice a week, I need to change those feeders. And sometimes I notice just a little bit because, you know, usually in July it's hot. Now this year, praise the Lord, it wasn't as hot as it could be. But it's still hot enough that a clear bowl full of sugar water, even with that many hummingbirds, begins to grow just a little bit of mildew. Just a little bit. And sometimes it seems like my schedule, probably like yours, it's always hurry. And I notice the hummingbirds are giving me that hummingbird look. We're low on water here, guy. You need to do something. And I really don't have time to take those feeders down and clean them like I should. And there's only a little mildew, just a little bit. And I've got time to get the water hot and mix the sugar and put them back out. And I've been known to do that. And then in a couple of days when I go back, something unique has happened. You know what's happened? That little bit of mildew is now a little bit more mildew. And a little bit more mildew. And then a little bit more mildew. And dare I do as I did once, confession is good for the soul, that I didn't wash those things for quite a while. Brothers and sisters, you can get a whole lot of mildew, especially in that little red part underneath when you open it up. It's slimy. That's like us. That's like a little sin. Just a little sin. Just a little God, I'm not going to deal with this right now. I don't have time right now. I'm busy. God, you know what I'm doing. And I was at church last Sunday, God. That ought to be good enough. We don't need to worry about this sin stuff. My sin is ever before me. I wonder today if there's something little in our life, or maybe there's someone here who would be honest to say, no, the sweetness of God's water in my life has been infected by the mildew of sin, and there's a lot of it. And I'm not the husband I used to be. I'm not the wife I used to be. I'm not the mom or dad I used to be. I'm not the neighbor I used to be. I'm not the coworker I needed to be. I'm not the guy at school or the gal at school I ought to be. Because sin has a way of stopping that. Not only do we remember what that sin, but then we've got to move on. We've got to remember who. Once David remembered what he had done, the sin. Once Nathan said, you are the man. You are him. You're the one. David stopped right then and said, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Brothers and sisters, there's probably not a one of us here that wouldn't have a better week if we would honestly pray, God, forgive me. Not for philosophical sin, but for the real sin in my life. The real sin that I don't like to talk about, that I don't want anybody else to know about, that I don't really want to deal with myself. David remembered what he had done. He remembered who he was doing it to. Now, I'm struggling here with my tenses. Because we could argue the verb tense, that we could say, he did it to Uriah and to Bathsheba. But did you hear what I said? He is doing it to God. Sin is not past tense. Oh, but I did it way back then. Sin's still right here, right now. Unrepented sin is just as fresh as the day the sin was committed. David said, well, God, what you're looking for is not my burnt offering. I can't dress up on Sunday morning, come to church and say, I know I've got that sin in my life, but here I am, Lord, and I'm going to put some money in the collection plate and I'm going to sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He says, keep your burnt offerings. What does he want? A broken spirit. A contrite heart. one who realizes sin continues to interfere with our walk with God. Sin is always against God. Even when we hurt others by our action, the spiritual toll is always between us and God. Oh, friends, I'll give us a valuable truth right today. If we would honestly examine our relationship with God, the clutter that is there is our sin, and it interferes. In September of 1973, Carl Menninger, one of the great line of psychiatrists, doctors from the Menninger Institution, wrote a book, Whatever Became of Sin. I love the way he introduced it. The first chapter says that a man was standing on the street in a busy Chicago, I believe it was, city street, and people would walk by, and like every fifth one, he would look at him, he'd point at him, and he'd say, "A sinner! A sinner!" And people would just walk by, and some deemed him crazy, but one person was heard walking by saying, "How did he know? How did he know?" Today, where could I point in our congregation, starting with our pastor? Where could I point and cry out, "Sinner"? And my words hit the mark. Whatever became of sin, we've repackaged sin. We've societally changed sin. We've decided things that used to be sin aren't sin anymore. Aren't you excited that we have that power to tell God what He told us is wrong? And we've changed the words. When's the last time you just talked to somebody and said, "Hey, how you doing with your sin?" I bet you've never done that. I bet you've never done that. We don't like that word sin. We've repackaged it to words like, don't have those old-fashioned models, or living in the 21st century, or choice, or alternative lifestyles. We've spray-painted it, but we've never looked really at the registration. We call Las Vegas, you remember what Las Vegas is called? You know what it's called? Shake your heads if you know what Las Vegas is called. You know what it's called? It's called Sin City. It's one of the top travel destinations in the United States of America, where gambling and prostitution are legal, and all of our stars that we worship. We don't worship stars. Do we like to watch American Idol? Whatever happened there? American Idol? Could I remind us of the first commandment, "Thou shalt have no idols before me"? Oh, but that's just... This is 2014, preacher. Calm down. It's okay. Sin's not like it used to be back then. Really? 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 Brothers and sisters, we're not like we used to be back then. And our families are in trouble. And our homes are broken. And our lives are desperate. Because we do not want to deal with our sin. A broken and contrite heart. It is indeed God's call. Why? Finally this morning. Why? Why? Why does God want us to deal with our sin? Doesn't He know how uncomfortable it makes us? Doesn't He know everybody's doing it? Doesn't He know that in 2014 it is socially acceptable? I'll tell you why. I'm glad you asked. Our holy God, the Creator of all, wants to have a personal relationship with us. But the unholiness of our sin gets in the way of that relationship. Specifically, confessing sin leads to two things: our ownership of our sin and our need to have it removed. When we own that we are sinners and we need God's forgiveness, we move to that wonderful place that God created us for. That's where peace is. That's where joy is. That's where happiness is. Fulfillment and hope in a right relationship with God. You know what my biggest fear is? Somebody here says, amen, preacher, you're right. And you know what, preacher? I'm going to walk out today, and I'm taking my sin with me. And I know I won't be as happy as God created me to be. I won't be as whole as God created me. I won't be as fulfilled. I won't pray as much this week as I could. I won't use those talents. I'll bury a few of them in my sin. If we don't deal with our sin correctly, it'll deal with us in a devastating way. God's using David to remind us when we become the men and women after God's own heart, it can make a tremendous difference. Are you a sinner? Is there sin in your life? Not philosophical, real sin. We're fixing to leave. How will we leave? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, forgive me for my sin. Those specific sins of bad choices, bad words, bad deeds. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And if there's one here today, Lord, that right now your Holy Spirit is pricking their heart, and pride is wanting them to resist, and the devil is saying, oh, don't deal with it. You don't want to deal with it. But oh, your sweet Holy Spirit, and that still small voice is saying, we could be closer. We could be closer if you're faithful and just to confess. God says, I'm faithful and just to forgive. Help us to deal with our sin in your presence. For it is you and against you only have we sinned. And God, now we have that privilege to very specifically ask you to forgive us. May each of us leave this place with a new heart, purged whiter than snow. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn and hymn of decision is page 307. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. How will we leave as we stand together and sing?
Just as I
would you be seated for just a moment, Laura? Come stand with me. We have come today, Miss Laura Marks, coming home, I guess, in a way, asking that she be become a part of our church family upon transfer of letter from a sister church. Do I hear a motion that we accept her as a member?
Motion.
I'll still do better, but that was good. That was good. All those who would join me in officially welcoming her into our fellowship, would you let it be known by saying amen?
Amen.
Bless you. We are excited God has brought you to us. At this point in your world, with your family, that is exciting. I'm going to ask you and your family, if they want to come and join me at the door. And I know folks will want to come by and make a commitment to pray for this newest member of our congregation and remind us to pray for each of us. Would you stand with me? Remember tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to be gathering here for supper. I think the youth are fixing it. I don't know what it is, but come eat it anyway. And then we're going to make a circle, and we're going to have a time for the kids to come by for a time of trunk or treat. So I hope you'll come and help us in this new adventure that we're starting. Be praying for our youth as they are currently traveling, our Kentucky crowd that will be leaving both Wednesday and Thursday this week, that God will continue that work there and our partnership in that work together. And ladies, I hope you've got the best recipes right now, because next Sunday is it. That's homecoming, okay? So you're going to bring enough for you and the 35 people that you're going to bring, and we're going to open the windows, have people hanging out the windows, and the Lord's house will be filled as we celebrate and worship Him as we celebrate our homecoming next Sunday. Now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace and in God's power and in God's abiding presence. We who confess our sin, that we may leave with a new heart and a pure spirit, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, thank You for Laura coming today. Thank You for each part of our church family. As we go out now to be Your missionaries in this community, would You strengthen us that we might be the salt and light that this community needs, to know, God, that You forgive sin, that You will remove it as far as the east is from the west, and that You can give us the fulfillment in life in a relationship with You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.